Transform your life today. Welcome to Super Coach with Michael Neal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Our topic for today is integrity made fun, and the numbers to call to get some coaching on having what you want and thriving in every area of your life. 866-254-1579. It's toll free in the United States and Canada. 866-254-1579. Or from outside the United States, you can reach the show by dialing your country code and then 760-918-4300. You may hear some barking in the background. Apparently, the studio is under attack by squirrels, so the dogs are just protecting your right to listen to quality radio. Before we go to the phones, I wanted to talk a little bit about this notion of integrity made fun, and I got some grief for this. I got called out on Twitter for saying, does integrity have to be fun? Isn't it enough that it's just integrity? Well, of course it doesn't have to be fun. Nothing has to be fun. But the reason that I chose that as the topic for today's show is that integrity sounds like such an important thing. It sounds like such a heavy thing, like, oh yes, I really must work on my integrity, or, ooh, I'm out of integrity. I need to get back into integrity. And it becomes just another way to take ourselves a little bit too seriously, in my opinion. So when I'm talking about integrity, I'm not going to be putting on a funny hat and talking about integrity. I'm really just talking about the simplicity of it. And in its simplest form, really, there's two ways that, as far as I can tell, we can usefully talk about integrity. And the first is doing what you'll say you'll do and making it right when you don't. So in other words, if I tell you I'm going to be somewhere at 7 o'clock and I'm not there at 7 o'clock, well, I'm out of integrity. Now, a lot of people turn that into a moral thing. Well, you're out of integrity, man. You need to get back into integrity. You're not a good person because you weren't there at 7 o'clock. Well, no, integrity isn't about a moral value, at least not the way that I think about it. And I think maybe that's why people take it so seriously, because it's a moral thing. Integrity is structural. When a structure has integrity, that means that it's strong, it's sturdy, it's built well. It will survive pressure from the outside. When we don't have integrity to the structure of our lives, when we don't do what we say or mean what we say, our lives get wobbly. And so when I'm talking about integrity, it's not about being a good person, being a bad person. It's about creating a life that works, that holds together. Creating structures and relationships that can survive a little bit of jiggle, because life has a little bit of jiggle, if you haven't noticed. So one part of integrity is this doing what you'll say you'll do and making it right when you don't. If I know I'm not going to be there at 7, I call you and say, hey, I'm not going to be there at 7. The other part, and the part I wanted to take a little bit more time talking about, because it's not what people often think about when they talk about integrity, is not talking crap. Now you're probably not going to find that in a dictionary definition of the word integrity, but for me, it really is at the heart of what we're talking about. I saw a great quote today by Joseph Goebbels, Hitler's PR guy, and he said, lie until you believe the lie. And I thought, wow, I had no idea Goebbels invented the fake it till you make it approach to life. But that's sort of anti-integrity, right? That's sort of the opposite of integrity. Is just keep, you know, talking crap until people start to believe you. Now, I know that can work in society. I know you can get ahead doing that. But it's actually a very stressful and unstable way to live. You know, people wonder why almost everybody has this fear of being found out. You've probably got at least one area in your life where you go, oh, gosh, you know, what if they find out who I really am, who I'm really not? Well, that's because you're faking it. That's because you're out of integrity in that area. You're speaking above your pay grade. Werner Erhard used to talk about a guy in a diner. And a guy in a diner is someone who has an opinion on everything without ever having experienced anything. And when we talk above our pay grade, when we talk crap, we're basically just voicing our opinions into the world because, I don't know, it sounds good. It makes us feel important. But it creates wobbliness in our lives. When we restrict ourselves, by and large, to describing what we actually see in life, well, there's nothing to argue with. There's nothing to push back against. And what's interesting, at least in my own experience of it, is the less crap I talk, the less I have to justify what I say. Any more than you would spend a lot of energy trying to prove to somebody that the sky is blue. Well, prove it. Well, no, look, we're going to look at it together, and either you see it or you don't. But we're not in the world of opinion anymore. I'm just speaking from what I know. And I think that's just an incredibly powerful thing. If you want to get in for calls, having what you want, thriving in every area of your life, 866-254-1579, toll-free in the U.S. and Canada. And internationally, you can dial your country code and then 760-918-4300. And we're going to start internationally. Let's go to South Africa and talk to Lauren. Lauren, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi, thank you. I'm nervous, but I'm so appreciative to be able to speak to you.
Oh, fantastic.
So my dad, who I adored and was my doctor and everything, died 6 years ago in a car crash.
Mm-hmm.
And so that overnight, you know, my life changed, and I was trying to be positive. This is what God intended, and it's part of the plan and whatever. Subsequently, about a year later, when it fell on me to do the estate and a lot of things, something happened which made me question after that. I lost my sense of well-being and kind of that everything will be okay, that kind of universal trust.
Yeah.
And since then, I mean, I've been doing the estate, but I'm so stuck in my life. And job-wise, everything-wise, I've been doing this. I'm not working. I don't need to be, but I would like to be.
Yeah.
But I feel underneath it all is that I've lost that feeling of meaning and that everything will be all right, that I am kind of protected in a sense, that sense of internal well-being that I know you talk about.
Yeah.
And I've read in Supercoach, and I think it's so important that, and I think like a lot of positive thinking is like, especially I realize when you're in grief or something, people just say, well, if you're not thinking positively and you're going to attract more negativity to you, can make you crazy.
Yeah, I find smacking them about the face usually helps. I don't know. I prefer to start with like a forward slap and then a quick back slap and then back across the forward, you know. But that's just my response. So first off, Lauren, I'm sorry about your dad. I think here's something I've learned that I think might be useful for me to share with you.
Thanks.
A lot of people have a sense of security and well-being. A lot of people don't, but a lot of people do. And until something happens in life that shakes them up, they assume that it's internal. They assume that it's just innate. But what happens is something happens in their life. Somebody that they care about dies. They lose a business. There's an earthquake. Life happens.
And you realize how tenuous it is.
Well, and what actually I've noticed is that people suddenly realize, oh, I thought my sense of security was something in me, but actually, even though I didn't think of it that way, it was in some way based on the idea that things outside me would stay the same.
Yeah. Well, no, that I would get through situations and be all right.
So here's, let me ask this. When you say that it's not all right, or when you imply that it's not all right, What is it that's not all right right now?
I feel, firstly, and I realize the thought and you create your own emotions from it, but I kind of think this is true. You know, to feel the rest of my life without sharing that with my father, who I love so much, just seems so terrible. It seems like a torturous existence. And then, what is meaningful then, and how do I? I'm not one of those people I can just work for money. I have to do something that I feel is meaningful.
Okay, let's slow it down a little bit. Let's take this one at a time. Okay, so I remember, and I didn't do this on purpose, by the way, but I remember after my dad died, I didn't like not feeling sad. I felt it was disrespectful. This was not like a totally conscious conversation I had in my head, but there was something about it. And so if I started to get too happy, I would think that my reliable thought was I would think what a shame it was that my dad would never get to see his grandkids. And that pretty much, even now, if I really bring that thought front and center, I can tear up. Now,
I feel I'm a bit selfish in the reverse, is that I don't get to have my dad experience that with me.
Right, but so okay, so let's stay with me for a minute, Lauren, because it's not the content of the thought.
Right.
It's that I found a thought that every time I thought it, I felt really bad. Mm-hmm. And I kind of, at some level, realized afterwards, God, I wanted to. It wasn't okay with me to feel okay, because it meant in some way in my head that I didn't love my dad as much as I knew I had. It sounds to me, and it just sounds to me, I'm some guy on the radio who's never talked to you before, but it sounds
but
to
I'd
me,
like to see, I read
it sounds to me like you've got a thought that every time you think it, it makes you feel really bad and bleak, which is, boy, whatever happens, no matter how good it is, I'm not going to be able to share it with my dad. And so it's not going to be that good.
Yeah, I get what you're saying now. Yeah.
And all I'm kind of suggesting, I once saw Dr. Richard Bandler working with a client. He's the guy who created NLP, and I used to teach with him for a few years. And I once saw him talking to a client who kind of had a similar, just couldn't get past. She'd actually been involved in a bombing, where a bus that she was on had blown up, and she survived. But he said to her, he said, look, if I gave you a really, really, really ugly painting for Christmas this year, like really, really ugly, that you hated, would you promise me to put it up in your sitting room over the fireplace? And she looked at him like he was nuts and said, well, of course not. And he said, so why do you keep bringing that thought front and center?
Because I don't know what to replace it with.
Well, I don't either, but pretty much anything else is going to be better than that one.
Well, and then there's an addendum to what I was saying. So then it's this thing which made me question everything. I was trying my best with these days with a lot of things, and I thought, okay, for 1 minute, I'm going to relax and just take it easy and just trust in God will be fine. And then a lot of things got kind of undone, and it just affected me badly. And I feel, and now I've gotten to this pattern of like, I can't like relax my thoughts, because sometimes, I know this sounds odd, but like I had this, and this is what happened. I had this thought, my brother's going overseas. I thought, oh, at least I have my dog with me, because she was like my everything, and she was missing, like, and she has gone missing. And like everything, like I think, well, at least I can relax about that. And it's not it's like just letting these thoughts pass, and then it comes true, and I don't,
Well, okay, first off, and I don't know if you can feel it, but when our thoughts spin, they're spinning. There's nothing we can do until they stop spinning. There's an element to which, the best thing that I can say to you in the moment is go for a walk, put some TV on, just take a break from the inside of your head. But hang on, Lauren, stay with me.
Right.
That's just an in the moment. When your head's spinning, your head's spinning. And there's just nothing much to be done about that, but wait till it slows down.
Yeah.
On a bigger picture, as I don't know that I believe that, there is necessarily this particular plan and things all happen for a reason and all that. I don't disbelieve it, but I don't particularly necessarily, I don't know that it's true.
Yeah, I haven't
But here's the thing. If it were true, then what you're describing is each thing outside you that you attach your well-being to is disappearing from your life. And the gift of that and the offering in that is to stop attaching your well-being to things outside you.
So what do I attach to?
You don't have to attach it to anything. It's just there. When you were a baby, you didn't go, ooh, well, thank goodness I've got a mother and father that love me so I can feel good. You were born into that. We are born into that. That is what life feels like when it's not contaminated by our own thinking. That's just that bliss that from time to time people feel, and nobody feels it all the time that I'm aware of. That's that feeling of just being alive. That's not attached to anything. The problem comes for each of us when we try to attach it to something. And it doesn't matter what it is. You could attach it to, you know,
exactly what's happening.
Right. So here's all I would love for you to do, and you don't have to do this, but this is just going to be my invitation to you to play with over the next week or so. Okay?
Yeah.
Is just as best you can, play with the idea of being okay for no reason at all. Just as an idea, I don't need you to. And I understand that, and I can reassure you, whether or not it reassures you, but I can reassure you, you ain't that powerful. None of us really controls the universe that much with our thoughts, right? Because if we did, every roller coaster we ever got on would go off the tracks.
But life can be scary. It can,
Lauren. And there are a few of the things that we're scared of that are actually worth being scared of. Like alligators, really worth being scared of. The thought that I'm going to be sad 5 years from now, not worth being scared of.
And what you said is, I never realized, you've given me epiphany. Whatever I'm attaching to my well-being on is going. You're right. So I will play with that. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Lauren.
Thank you.
And you know, this is such a difficult thing at first to get hold of, because it's like, well, what do you mean? I mean, it's real. Well, no, it really isn't. I mean, it's somebody said, well, are you saying that I don't have to worry about money? And I'll say, well, I don't know. Do you have any? And they go, well, yeah, I do for now. Well, yeah, then the worry about money, that's isn't real. I mean, it's a real thought, but it isn't a real situation. Real problems have solutions. That's part of how you know they're real. Let's stay overseas. Let's go to Daryl in England. Daryl, welcome to the show. Thank you for holding. What can I do for you today?
Hi, Michael. How are you doing?
I'm very well.
Good. I want to be a success coach, and I feel that because I've never married, I'm 36, and never had any children, that these facts will stop me being qualified in helping people in any area of their lives. I'm wondering, I met you in April, actually, at Alternatives, and you said to start coaching, I'll learn what doesn't work. But I'm now wondering, I've got a bit of procrastination, a bit of a limiting belief maybe even, that I might be above my pay grade.
You're only above your pay grade, Daryl, if you're giving people advice on based on how you successfully had children and a wife. In other words, there's nothing, Tiger Woods' coach will lose in golf to him 10 times out of 10. That doesn't mean he can't help Tiger Woods be a better golfer.
Yeah.
So I'm not suggesting don't get your life together, and if you happen to want to be in a relationship, get into a relationship, and if you want to have children, have children. I'm just saying that has nothing to do with coaching.
So if somebody asked me a question about their relationship with their wife or the husband or the children, I mean, I've read a lot of books. I know the book smarts kind of side of things, but I don't feel like I've got those life skills maybe.
Right. And so that's where integrity comes back in. You can stay in a completely balanced relationship just by being straight. You know, I got to be honest, I haven't made a relationship work at that level yet. But here's how it looks to me. Here's what occurs to me. Here's what I might try in that situation. Or even, yeah, I know, it's a bugger, isn't it? You know, because it is. Look, this is a human thing. There's not a human being on this planet who doesn't from time to time struggle in their relationships. And if we stop thinking that that's means that there's something wrong with us, as opposed to that we're human, and that there's something kind of weird about the fact that we try to have these intimate relationships, which aren't necessarily the way things would evolve in nature, well, then of course it's difficult from time to time, and you're going to do the best you can. And if you're not worried about it, if you're not thinking it means you're a bad person or you're a failure or something like that, chances are often the solution's kind of easy. You know, like, don't be mean to each other. That works a lot of the time.
I mean, I have had like girlfriends that have had children in the past, obviously, and I've had a lot of experience with that. But on a personal perspective, from my own children and marriage, it's just not happened. And I thought, am I showing integrity if I'm advertising my services, saying, you know?
Again, Daryl, if you're advertising your services as a specialist in marriage and family, then no, I would say that strikes me as potentially being full of crap.
Yeah.
But if you're talking about, if you have a facility or are developing a facility to assist people in having more wonderful lives, well, you know, unless your life is absolutely awful and you don't have a clue, and that's not my sense of you, then why would that be out of integrity? I really am not aware of the job description entailing, and my life looks like a Disney movie. I mean, look, I happen to be happily married. I love being married.
Yeah.
You know, my you know, but that's, it's not so that I can be a better success coach. It just happens to be a facet of my life.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think it's a limiting belief. Like,
well, so here's the thing, Daryl. Because here's what I wanted to say, one more thing to you before I let you go, which is, if you want to, you can now make up a different reason to not just go ahead and coach people, and it will sound right to you till somebody else teases you out of it. So I'm going to suggest that you just forget about the fact that you have limiting beliefs. And just go talk to people. You don't have to charge them. You don't have to do anything. But just go support people and find out what works and what doesn't. And if you do want to train, you know, I've got one more coming up. Come to Supercoach Academy. Come out and train with us next year. And we'll support you in that. But whether you do that or not, you're going to learn the most by being in conversation with people.
Wise words from you, as always. Thank you.
All right, Daryl. Thank you very much. Bye.
Take care.
All right, let's go to Brooklyn to Natalia. Natalia, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi, Michael. How are you today?
I am very well, thank you.
It's a pleasure to be with you. I love your show.
Thank you.
And partially, you answered my question, like, by talking with previous gentlemen. But, you know, I always have great conversation with people, and people like to have conversation with me. And I would like to do what you do, but for Russian-speaking people, because mm-hmm. there are a lot of people and they like to get support. And it gives me a lot of, like, pleasure. I love to do it, but I don't charge money. And for living, I earn, like, I make money by being a QA analyst, business analyst. I work with software.
Mm-hmm.
And I do the same, like I do by working with people. I do my best to break the system to prepare good quality product for the end user. So my question is, how can I start doing what I like by charging money and make it my, like, mission or whatever?
Your vocation. Well, I'll tell you what, Natalia, can you hang on over the break?
Absolutely.
Okay, so I'm gonna just put you on hold for now, and when we come back, Natalia and I will talk. And if you think about this, right, this is a situation that is so relevant for so many of us. Is, well, there's something that I do that makes money, and there's something that I would love to do, but I don't know how to make money doing it. And how do I find the balance between those two things? And so that's what we're going to talk about when we get back. If you want to get in with your questions, with your calls, 866-254-1579, toll free in the United States and Canada, or the from outside the United States. Again, you can dial the country code and then 760-918-4300. If you like the things we talk about on the show, visit me online at supercoach.com. And you can also follow me on Twitter at Michael_Neil. And we are going to be right back after this short break.
strategies for real change. This is Supercoach with Michael Neal.
We are back. We're talking about integrity made fun, and we're talking with Natalia in Brooklyn. Natalia, welcome back.
Yes, thank you. I am with you.
Yay. So here's the first question that comes to mind for me. So if you have, on the one hand, you have a job that you do, and are you good at the job that you get paid for?
Yes.
Okay. And then you have this other thing, the coaching that you'd like to do, where, but you don't charge for it at the moment.
Sometimes I do.
Oh, sometimes you do. Okay. So is there anything more to this than just riding the transition where you build up your coaching practice until it makes enough money that you can leave the other job? I mean, that would be just the common sense answer. So I'm just wondering, is there a reason that it's not that straightforward?
I don't know. This is what I would like to understand, what stops me. Like Caroline Nees told me, you have to start leading seminars, but there is something, I don't know, maybe some hidden fear, or I don't know.
Well, there might be, but do you want to run a seminar? Do you want to run a seminar?
I do. I would.
Okay, what seminar would you like to run? What is it?
How to achieve your dream.
Okay, so, well, so do you know what you would teach if you taught it?
Yeah, that people have to do baby steps, and you give me advice what I have to swallow and do it.
So here's my
do baby steps and don't have attachment to results.
Here's my question, Natalia. Would you be willing to stand, and I'm not saying do this, understand, this is just a question.
Right.
Would you be willing to stand up in front of a group that have come on a seminar called How to Make Your Dreams Come True, and say to them, look, I'm going to be teaching with you guys the very best of what I know about this right now. And I've got to be honest, this is just one step in my dream coming true. I'm not living my dream life yet, but I am in the process of creating that dream. And you guys being here today is a part of that dream coming true. Would that be easy for you to say or difficult?
Yes, it's easy, and I'm crying because it's very good.
Because that's integrity. Integrity isn't waiting until you're, you know, what Darren said, you know, married and have a kid, or you're living your perfect life. Integrity is just being where you are and being honest about it.
Mm-hmm. And in some areas of my life, I did achieve my dream. So,
yeah, and that's beautiful. And I'm sure that you then could then offer people a heck of a lot. And I think a lot of times our reluctance, our procrastination is just because at some level we think we would have to be full of crap to do it. And I'm telling you, there is always an authentic, integral way of doing anything. So I guess then the question is, when's the seminar?
Good question. I will think about it, and I will, like, I think it's going to be maybe 1.5 months from today, because I have to give advertisement in newspapers. And
okay, great. So what I would love is if you email me at radio@supercoach.com and you email me when you've got your dates and you're announcing your seminar.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Michael.
Thank you, Natalia.
And everybody in Fakeout. Bye-bye. Thank
you. Okay, bye. You know, I really do think very often, you know, if you think that in order to move forward, you're going to have to, you know, fake it, you're going to have to lie. Well, that does make it difficult. But you can also just be completely upfront with people. And that creates an integrity. It creates a stability in the structure that makes it easy to move forward. You know, as I don't remember who said it, but something I remember reading once, you know, the easiest lie to remember is the truth. Let's talk a little bit. Actually, let's build on this. Let's talk a little bit about, well, how do we market with integrity? Because marketing is one of these fields, these professions where people say, well, you can't market with integrity. I mean, if you're marketing, you've got to lie. That's just accepted. And that idea is one of the reasons that a lot of the most creative, gifted, and talented people I know struggle so much with marketing. Because they say, they let go, well, look, isn't asking people to hire me and buy my stuff, a bit beneath me or to lie like that? I mean, you know, besides, what do I know about marketing? I'm an artist. I'm not a salesperson. Well, the problem with that point of view, with that approach, is that those same creative, gifted, talented people are the ones who wind up being so tired of being broke all the time that they give up on their creative pursuits and go get a real job. They're the ones who tell themselves and others, you know, I used to have a dream, but, you know, it's really painful having a dream. You know, sometimes you just got to get real. And they'll complain to me about the state of the industry, the state of the marketplace, the state of the economy, the state of the world. And anyone who's successful, you know, anyone who succeeded, well, they sold out, you know, or they were ruthless. See, I wasn't willing to be ruthless. You know, I may not be successful, but at least I've got my integrity. There are so many flaws in that line of thinking. I could probably do a book deconstructing them. Maybe I will one day. But I want to share a couple of marketing strategies that will really help you get your wares into the marketplace, establish your business, doing what you really want to do without feeling like you have to become something that you don't want to become. The first strategy is created by a friend of mine, Steve Chandler, and he calls it the Lazarus effect or Lazarus marketing. And just to set this up, I used to work as an actor in London, and there was a comic strip in the actor newspaper, The Stage, about a pig named Hamlet, and Hamlet was struggling to make it as an actor. I always remember my favorite strip, Hamlet's the actor pig. He's in his agent's office and he's complaining about his agent's inability to get him work. And the agent goes, "Hey, don't blame me. It's a really slow time in the industry right now." And Hamlet says, "Don't give me that. You always say that. For once in your life, try telling the truth. Have some integrity." "Well, okay," says the agent. "The truth is you're overweight and you're not a very good actor." And then there's like just a empty frame where nothing is said. And in the final frame, Hamlet goes, "So it's a really slow time in the industry right now?" One of the reasons that we struggle in the marketplace, or that a lot of people struggle in the marketplace, is that their work simply isn't as good as they think it is. And what they need to work on isn't their marketing. They need to work on their craft. You know, the reason that one coach can be paid tens of thousands of dollars and another struggles to get people to pay him a couple hundred dollars, sometimes it is other things, but a lot of the time it's the impact they're able to have on their clients. And this is why Steve Chandler calls it the Lazarus effect, because he points out, look, you only have to bring one person back from the dead and they'll talk about you forever. Now, whatever it is that you do, whether you're, you know, a couple of people here have said they want to do coaching or teach seminars. I know there's people who phone the show all the time who want to do massage or do readings. You know, there are also people who just want to start their own business or create a more conventional line of work or get a new job. When your work really works, whatever it is, when it's making a tangible difference in the lives of others, in the success of your company, your work will get talked about and it will get out there. And that's not to say you're never going to need to talk about it, but just that when you take the time to do what you do extraordinarily well, a little bit of marketing goes a very long way. So just try this as a little sort of experiment. Okay. And by the way, if you want to get in, I will go back to the phones later. 866-254-1579, toll free in the US and Canada, or from outside the US, you can reach the show on 760-918-4300. Rate your current product or service or the thing that you'd like to do in terms of how good at it are you, how effective are you on a scale from 1 to 10, where 1 is actually I'm hopeless at this and 5 is I don't really know, I think I'm okay, I haven't really done much of it, and 10 is I really do have a genius for this, and it I don't just think that, you can see it in the way that people are affected by it. And if you're not at a 10 or at least a 9, my recommendation is don't worry about marketing. Take some time off from thinking about marketing and how are you going to make money and just focus on getting better at what you do. I don't mean you can't tell people about what you have to offer or you can't take a client, but just whatever money or mental energy or creativity you would have been spending on coming up with better ideas to market your business, pour them into making your product or service more wonderful and watch how your business takes off over the next 6 months. Okay? So that's one way that you can market with integrity. Another way, I It's one of my favorite metaphors for marketing. It came out of a conversation that I had with an author named Al Secunda, who wrote a lovely book called The 15-Second Principle. And he shared with me a metaphor of a two-handled coffee mug. And he said, imagine your product or service is like a mug of steaming hot coffee. So the coffee is the essence of what you have to offer. It's the heart of the value that you're offering to your clients, that you're offering to your customers. It's the difference that you're able to make in their lives. So in my business, the coffee is when people experience the connection between their innate well-being and their ability to contribute and be successful in life. It's the secrets of happy success. That's the coffee. However I talk about it, we're always in essence talking about what it is to just tap into that innate well-being and wisdom that we all have inside us. And then from that place, how do we move forward and create what we want in our lives? Now, the mug in this particular form of offering, in my case, you know, when I do a radio show, I do tips, I do books, I do CD programs, I do coaching sessions, I do public trainings. That's the mug. That's just the container that I put around the coffee. It doesn't matter whether it's a tip or a book or a CD program or a radio show or a coaching session or a training. The coffee is always going to be, the essence is always going to be the same. Now, in order for me to get my message out into the world, that mug needs at least two handles. And the first handle is for me. I need a way to relate to what I'm doing. Now, for you, if you're an artist, you might think of your work as a, you know, a deep expression of your personal pain, or it might be a deep expression of your spiritual joy. As a salesperson, you know, what would the essence be? Maybe you might connect with what you do as a way of earning a living. You might connect with what you do as a way of making a contribution. You might connect with what you do as a way of funding your dreams. If you're a consultant, if you're a coach, if you do the kind of work that I do, you might think of what you do as saving a starfish. You might think of what you do as educating the masses. It might be sharing the best of what you know. And it doesn't really matter how you think about it, as long as you have a way of thinking about it that works for you. That's one handle on the coffee mug, which is the form that your service or product is taking. And it's just one handle on the coffee mug that contains the coffee, which is the essence of what you have to offer. Now, the second handle on the coffee mug is for them. It's the way that the people that you want to reach will be able to grab hold of what it is you have to offer. Now, it doesn't have to have anything to do with the way you think about it. It's just, it's important to be able to express your offering in a way that's going to appeal to other people. And you want to make it as easy and appealing as possible for them to pick up the mug and drink the coffee. Now, this is assuming you make really good coffee. So that, we always start with strategy one, which is make really good coffee. Bring one person back to life. But once you do, yeah, it's helpful to have it in a mug, and it's helpful to have a handle on that mug that other people can relate to. Now, how are you going to know what that is? How do you know what appeals to others? Well, look, there's hundreds of books on that. There's college degrees on that. My son, it's one of the things he might study at university. He's really interested in that. But for all the books I've read and all the things that I've seen, the simplest answer is just to ask people. So talk about what you do, describe your product or service to people, offer them a sample, and notice their response. And if they can't wait to try it and they keep coming back for more, well, chances are you found a pretty firm, strong handle. And if they're not willing to try it or they don't come back for more, well, all that means, it doesn't mean there's a problem with your coffee necessarily. It just means you haven't yet found a handle or a hook that's truly going to work for them. So here's something you can try. It's like a little piece of homework you can do. And before I go into this again, I'm going to go back to the phones in just a sec. So if you're on hold, please hang on. I will get to you. Describe the essence of what it is that you have to offer. So the coffee in the center of the mug. Okay? And then next, make a list of the various forms in what you're offering that they're available in. The containers or contexts in which people are able to purchase what it is that you have to offer. And then if you're up for this, and you don't have to do this, but if you're up for this, if you're into, you know, if it's kind of fun for you to do something with this, write a paragraph or two about how you think about what you do, your handle on your product or service. And then reflect on some ways that you could talk about or represent your product or service to others. And the way that you know you're onto something is that when people hear your pitch or your story, they not only go, wow, great story. Wow, what a neat idea. but they actually begin drinking the coffee. They begin making a use of whatever it is that you're offering. And in my experience, when you combine these two strategies of really making sure that you're making great coffee, that what you're doing is making a real tangible difference, and finding a good mug for it and a good handle for that mug, you'll find the marketing, it's just not that hard. So you don't need to just come up with more mugs with better handles. Keep brewing that tastier coffee as well. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Liliana in San Francisco. Liliana, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi. Well, you're talking about integrity, and I think along the way I forgot to have integrity with myself. And so if I can't have integrity with myself, I can't have integrity with anything or anybody. And
well, tell me a little bit about integrity with yourself. What would that look like? Like, how do you know you don't have integrity with yourself? I'm not saying you do, but how do you know you don't?
Yeah. Well, I mean, a very simple example is I do lists every day of things I need to do, and I can never check them. It's just, you know, right. I keep doing lists and lists, and I can't do the things that I say to myself I'm going to do.
Right. So, okay, I buy that. So yeah, you're not doing what you say you do, so the lists become more and more meaningless.
Exactly, yeah.
Right. I'll tell you, this is just a simple strategy, but a friend of mine, Mark Forster, who's one of the UK's leading time management experts, he had a really neat, simple idea that really helped me to do with to-do lists, which is that he created two lists, and the first was his will-do list. And he would only put thing on the will-do list that he absolutely was going to do that day. And that might have been one thing. And then he had a might-do list. And that simple shift, that simple distinction, actually allowed him to stay in integrity without suddenly becoming a workaholic. Because he no longer was maintaining at any level that he was going to do everything on the list each day. He might have one or two things on the will-do list, but everything else was just a might-do.
But what if there are things that you really have to do, whether you want to put them in the will-do list or not?
Well, what do you mean when you say you have to do them?
Well, I mean, just things that you have to do, that I have to do, you know, like...
Well, like what happens if you don't? Do you blow up?
Yes, well, yeah.
Well, no, hang on. Have you blown up, literally? Because that would be really cool. I want video. Do you have it on, like, YouTube? If I, like,
no.
Type in Liliana in San Francisco blowing up, will I be able to see something?
No, but whatever that thing that I need to do will blow up if I don't take care of it.
Well, see, but that's an interesting distinction, Liliana, because often we try and tell ourselves that we have to do certain things in order to try and force ourselves to do them when we don't really want to. And the problem is, not only does it create stress in our lives, but it doesn't really tend to get them done, does it? If something really has to be done, it gets done. That's my experience.
Yes, like, so the last minute totally.
Yeah, oh, sure. Exactly. I'm not suggesting efficiently. I'm just saying, if something really has to be done, it gets done. So the trick is, what gets you back into integrity with yourself isn't suddenly becoming a much more effective, efficient person, though that may come over time. It's simply stopping the lie that something has to be done which doesn't, even though it would be very useful if it was done, or that you will do something that you probably won't, even if it would be really useful if you did. So do you see the distinction that what we're talking about getting back into integrity isn't necessarily doing more? It's just pretending that you're going to do less.
So being honest about what you're really going to accomplish that day.
Absolutely. And if you look at your list and you go, you know what, the only thing I can absolutely guarantee I'm going to do today is have lunch, then that's what goes on the will-do list that day.
But that's pathetic.
Well, I'm sorry
for
you
me.
Feel that way. For me, I'm quite
no,
excited
me.
About having lunch today.
No, but for me, because if the only
but
thing
Liliana,
that I can
is it,
do is having
is it,
lunch, that's pathetic. How
is it? Is it any more
pathetic?
Is it really any more pathetic to have an honest list that really represents what you're doing than to have a list that's full of crap that you write every day and then beat yourself up about not doing?
But that, I understand what you're saying, but that doesn't make it, you know, authentic or with integrity to me, because I'm not accomplishing what I really have to accomplish.
But where you're, the only place I hear you being out of integrity, and again, this is just me, understand, I do my best, but I've never met you before.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The only place that I hear you being out of integrity is you keep saying that there's things you have to do that you're not doing. And I know that can't be true, because if you had to do them, you would be doing them. You tell yourself you have to do them to try to get yourself to do them, but that's where you're out of integrity, because it's not true.
I really have to do them.
Well, give me an example of something you really have to do that you're not doing.
Well, let's see. I can look at my list. Do you really want the details?
I really do, because I don't, I honestly, Liliana, I think in this one area, you're lying to me and you're lying to yourself. Because I don't believe there's something on your list that you have to do today that you're not going to do.
I do.
But that's what I'm saying. So give it to me. What is it?
Okay. I need to shoot pieces of my portfolio so that I can send them someplace so that I can get these projects, so that I can...
Okay. So stay with me. Stay with me. So mm-hmm. if you don't, if come midnight tonight, you haven't shot these pieces for your portfolio, what happens?
I'm not making money. I'm not going to get that project. Somebody else is going to get it.
Is the deadline for that submission tonight?
Yeah, actually, there was a deadline. And it's not like a concrete deadline, but...
Okay, so no is the answer. If it's not a concrete deadline, then no would be the answer. Concrete deadline would be yes. So... Here's what I'm saying, and this is just an example, and I know it sounds like I'm picking on you, and I really don't mean to, but I know that if you get this, everything's going to get a lot easier going forward, and that's the only reason that I'm kind of sticking with it and taking this hard line with you, okay. Is that if you telling yourself that you had to get it done today was actually working for you, and actually getting you to get it done today, then I might kind of go, well, all right, it's not quite true, but whatever. But it's not even working. So what it's doing is it's creating an instability for you because you're out of integrity, because you're telling yourself something has to be done that isn't, that there is a deadline when there isn't a real deadline, when there isn't a concrete deadline.
Right.
And it's not even working. So you get the worst of both worlds. So all I'm suggesting is if you start with the bit that's within your control, which is being honest with yourself about it and going, boy, I would love to get this done today from a, I would feel really good about myself if I get this done today, but, and I may or may not get this done today. Something really interesting is going to start to happen. And this is just based on my experience. But if you are willing to get back into integrity with yourself by not lying to yourself about deadlines that aren't real and things that you have to do that you don't, suddenly you're going to find yourself with a lot more energy to actually do them. And I can only offer that to you as an experiment, but it's an experiment that I can tell you if you take, I will promise you that you'll call the show back in a few weeks and you'll go, oh my goodness, what a difference.
Just choose the thing that I know for sure I'm going to do.
And make sure you do that. And if you do more, great. It's not to say you can't do more, but you don't kid yourself about it. All right, give it a try. Give us a call. Let us know how it goes. Thank you for phoning in, Liliana.
Thank you. Okay.
Bye. All right, I hope you enjoyed the show today. We are going to be back with a brand new show next week. You like what we do? Visit us online, supercoach.com. Follow me on Twitter, Michael_Neal. Until next time, have fun, learn heaps, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye for now.